Hi, I'm Bill Hoehn.
And I'm Ted Hoehn.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hoehn family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hoehn Carlsbad dealerships or hoehnmotors.com.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. As the ballots continue to be counted, we'll go over the results for federal, state, and local races, then dive into propositions. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. Americans woke up this morning to big news. Donald Trump has been elected the 47th president of the United States. By winning in the key states of Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, he is projected to claim over 270 electoral votes to secure the presidency. But there are a number of local and statewide races that will impact listeners as well. Joining me now for the breakdown is Brian Adams. He is professor of political science at San Diego State University. Brian, thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
The biggest news of the morning is the outcome of the presidential race. Here's the chairman of the local Republican Party, Corey Gustafson, celebrating Republican victories last night.
We're going to finally start solving problems rather than creating problems. Republicans believe in common sense solutions, and you're going to see all of our candidates, when they get into office, start solving problems with common sense again.
So, Brian, what do we know about how a Trump presidency will impact issues most relevant to San Diegans, from taxes to immigration?
Yeah, well, the big issue that affects San Diego the most is immigration. And Donald Trump has promised mass deportations. Whether he'll actually be able to do that is an open question. He hadn't really talked much about logistics, and it's a little bit unclear like how that would actually play out. And it's possible that any efforts to do that will be tied up in the courts and he'll be stymied in effort. So it's a little bit unclear. During his first term, he didn't really accomplish a lot of what he said he was going to accomplish. And it's not, it may happen again, of where a lot of the promises end up not being fulfilled.
When it comes to the balance of power in Washington, Republicans also gained control of the Senate, and the U.S. House is still up for grabs. But walk us through why the balance of power matters here.
Yeah, well, definitely for the Senate, you know, you have a couple of U.S. Supreme Court justices who are like, who may possibly retire over the next 4 years. And the Senate does the confirmation. So with Republicans controlling both the White House and the Senate, they'll be able to appoint whoever they like to the U.S. Supreme Court. And also, obviously, the Senate has a lot of control over confirming other cabinet appointments and other, efforts that the president undertakes. If Democrats are able to control the House of Representatives, however, they'll effectively be able to block any type of legislation that Trump proposes. So the House of Representatives is really key. So at least Democrats would have one institution in the national government that they control.
All right. Well, let's narrow in on the race for the 49th district seat in the House of Representatives. That includes parts of northern coastal San Diego County and South Orange County. Democrat Mike Levin is leading against his challenger, Republican Matt Gunderson. But it is not a large lead. Do you think Levin will pull it off?
I think he will. First, you have to remember about a third of the votes still have to be counted. However, the votes that come in late tend to lean Democratic. So I suspect that the lead's going to narrow, or excuse me, it's going to widen a little bit in the upcoming days. You never know. And every election is different. And it certainly is possible that Gunderson could make up that ground. But I think that it's most likely that lead's going to broaden a little bit.
All right. Well, I want to move along to the race for the State Assembly 75th District, where Carl DeMaio has won against Andrew Hayes. DeMaio appears to have overcome opposition from his own party in this race. What are your thoughts on the outcome here?
Yeah, I was really surprised by this because Hayes had the endorsement from the Republican Party. A lot of elected officials in the Republican Party really do not like Carl DeMaio. He's burned a lot of bridges, but he's able to pull it off. And I think it tells you something about the mood of Republican voters, about how unhappy they are with the current state of affairs. And someone like DeMaio, who comes in and promises radical change, promises to completely remake the Republican Party. And for a lot of Republican voters in this very heavily Republican district, that was an appealing message.
And, well, in the District 3 County Board of Supervisors race, incumbent Tara Lawson-Reamer has a significant lead over challenger Kevin Faulkner. Let's hear what Lawson-Reamer had to say last night.
We've just been out in the community talking to people about what's important to them and making sure that we can show up for the next 4 years to keep fighting on the issues that matter.
So, Brian, what do you make of that race?
This was the race I think a lot of local Republicans really thought they had a good chance of winning. I mean, it's a really important race because control, the balance of power on the County Board of Supervisors is at stake. Right now, there's without the seat, there are two Republicans, two Democrats. So if Faulkner was able to win, Republicans would actually regain control of the County Board of Supervisors. But, you know, I think this district does lean Democratic, and it's hard to unseat an incumbent. And even though Faulkner has name recognition, he just wasn't able to pull it off. And it really shows how much the Republican Party in San Diego has really struggled. Even on a night where Republicans nationally have done well, in San Diego, the Republican Party is really struggling to gain their footing and be able to win close races.
Hmm. Well, let's talk about the San Diego mayoral outcome. Todd Gloria established a strong early lead against challenger Larry Turner. Here's Gloria at a Democratic Party event downtown last night.
I have a very simple message this evening. Let's get back to work. Let's fill those potholes. Let's house the homeless. Let's keep our city safe. And let's build more housing that working and middle-class people can afford in this great city.
Well, talk to me about the mayoral race here.
Yeah, so Larry Turner ran as an independent, and which is a smart move in the city of San Diego, where running as a Republican is basically be a death knell. So he is an effective campaign in that way, but he's a political unknown. And I think for a lot of voters, they're just really hesitant to support somebody who they don't know much about. And it's hard to unseat an incumbent generally. And that's particularly true in these down ballot races on a local level. And, you know, Turner just wasn't able to convince enough voters to take a shot on someone who is really a complete unknown.
Well, and what has Todd Gloria said about his plans for a second term?
I think it's going to be more of the same. I don't think, you know, Todd Gloria really made any indication during the election that he was going to fundamentally change his approach to governing. He didn't really do any pivots. So you're really not going to see much difference. And I think for a lot of voters, that's going to be disappointing. I think for a lot of voters, they do want to see major change. It's just that, you know, Larry Turner wasn't the person who they were willing to entrust to do that.
Hmm. Well, the race for San Diego City Attorney has also gained a lot of attention. Heather Ferbert is leading over challenger Brian Mainshine, and that person will fill the role of current city attorney Mara Elliott. Break that down for me.
Yeah, so when you get down to a race like city attorney, most voters aren't paying any attention to it at all. And they're going to base their vote on a cue that they receive, an endorsement, a TV commercial they saw, or something along those lines, or a mailer they received. Or they may vote based on the ballot designation, right? Ferbert was listed as a deputy a city attorney. So I think that could have potentially helped her. So it's really hard to know exactly what went on here, because voters just really aren't casting a very informed ballot. Mainshine had the endorsement of the Democratic Party, which I thought was going to really help him. But it turned out not to be that big of a help. And he also had the endorsement of a lot of local officials. But it turns out that those types of endorsements really don't matter all that much. We've certainly seen that in this race and in the Hayes-DeMaio race as well, where you can have all the local officials endorsing your opponent and it's not going to really matter because voters really aren't paying attention to those endorsements.
All right. Well, I want to get to some of the measures now. San Diego had a number of sales tax measures on the ballot this year. It seemed like the measures extending sales tax increases are on the path to passing, whereas the new sales tax increases are failing in initial results. Is this pretty typical?
Yeah, I think a lot of these are a little bit too close to call, and especially the city of San Diego one and the countywide transportation sales tax increase. They're still very close. And again, with a third of the votes still to be counted, the results could flip on those. I think voters are really concerned about cost of living. So sales tax measures, it may not be the best year to do a sales tax increase. But if you think historically, voters do sometimes vote to increase their taxes. They've done it multiple times in San Diego and elsewhere. Generally, to have it happen, though, you have to make sure there isn't an organized opposition, because if there is an organized opposition, it often kill a sales tax increase. And also, too, that voters need to trust that government will actually spend the government wisely. You just have a little bit of trust in there. And I think particularly in the city of San Diego, and this may also play a role with Standag, is that there may not be that trust to actually spend the money wisely, and it may give some pause to some voters to actually support sales tax increases.
Right. And what could be the impact on both the city and county of San Diego with the sales tax increases failing?
Well, for the city of San Diego, they have a big budget deficit and the hundreds of millions of dollars. And this sales tax increase would have solved that. If it doesn't pass, they're going to have a really tough budget year next year and probably a tough budget year for many years going forward. It's probably going to mean that the city workers are not going to be getting pay raises going forward. There'll be cuts to city services and so forth. And in terms of Standag, they still have a previous sales tax increase that was passed, the transnet tax that they're getting money from. But it's not enough to do all the projects that they want to do. So there's going to be some really tough decisions about what transit projects or highway projects are going to be funded and which ones will not.
This is KPBS Midday Edition. We're back after the break.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family owned and operated over four decades, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating and air, and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com, because we know how.
Welcome back to KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Jade Hindman with Brian Adams, an SDSU political science professor, talking about the election results. Well, moving on to some statewide propositions, let's go over just a few here. California voters shut down Prop 33, a ballot measure that would allow local jurisdictions to pass rent control ordinances. Break down the significance of that for me.
So this is the third time rent control has been on the ballot. And obviously it failed the first two times and it failed again. And, just even among many liberal voters, they're not convinced that rent control is a way to deal with the housing crisis. And it doesn't help that there have been some Democratic leaders who also came out against rent control. So that, coupled with the fact that massive amounts of money have been put into the opposition to that particular initiative, that, it was really hard to get rent control passed. So I think that hopefully this will be the last time it's on the ballot, because it's now tried three times and it's pretty clear that you're not going to be able to convince Californians that rent control is a way to solve our housing crisis.
Well, Prop 36 passed by an overwhelming majority, which would increase criminal penalties for property theft. Did we expect that outcome on Prop 36?
Yeah, all the polls were showing it would win big. And it won even bigger, at least if the current results hold, than the early indications. The fact that it won so big, I think, will give incentives to elected officials, particularly Republican elected officials, to keep pushing this issue and to keep having more legislation on, you know, tough on crime legislation. We could potentially see another tough on crime ballot initiative, you know, in the next election. When you have a proposition win by this margin, it does embolden those people to support those policy prescriptions. So you're likely to see more of this. And I certainly wouldn't be surprised if the Republican Party really focused on this issue in California, seeing it as a way to try to gain a foothold into the, gaining back some of the losses they've seen over the past, 10 or 15 years.
Well, and a reminder that Prop 36 rolls back a previous proposition, Prop 47, which was considered a breakthrough criminal justice reform thing. But how did voters respond to Prop 36 in comparison to Prop 47?
Yeah, I think it's a different time. I think for Prop 47, that itself rolled back some earlier laws and earlier propositions, tough on crime ones. And I think there was a feeling at that time that maybe we went too far in that direction of loosening up our criminal justice laws. But now we're in a position where I think people said, well, maybe Prop 47 went too far in the other direction, right? So I think voters are trying to find that appropriate balance between them. In California voters are trying to have enough tough on crime measures, but not too much. And so I think that's going to play out as we go forward. This issue certainly hasn't ended. There'll be a lot more proposals for getting tough on crime and a lot more, debate about the merits of those and how far we want to go in that direction.
And another criminal justice measure, Prop 6, would prohibit slavery and involuntary servitude in prisons. Where does that one stand?
So I think it's still too close to call yet, unlike Prop 36 is winning overwhelmingly. This one, I think, is fairly close and the results may change. But this really didn't get a lot of attention. Voters really weren't paying, with all the other things going on in this election, the presidential race and all the local races and other statewide propositions. I think a lot of voters weren't really sure what this was. So I'm not sure we can really read too much into the result on this particular proposition.
Well, Brian, you've been studying and covering elections for a long time. What stood out to you last night as the results flooded in on the local and national stage?
I mean, the country is deeply divided, and neither political party has been able to find a way in which to increase their share of supporters, right? I mean, if you look at the vote totals from, last night, and you compare them to 4 years ago or 8 years ago, it's pretty similar, right? I mean, the swing states have been decided by very small numbers of votes, and I think you've seen that, in California. While there may, Donald Trump did well nationally, in California, Republicans did not have a particularly good night, although we still have a number of outstanding House races that may change that. But certainly in San Diego, Republicans didn't have a good night. And so we have a situation where blue places are staying blue and red places are staying red. And it's hard to see how we're going to get out of that division, who's going to be able to come along and find a way in which to assemble a voting coalition of more than 51 or 52% of voters.
I've been speaking with Brian Adams. He is professor of political science at San Diego State University. Professor, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for your insight today.
Thank you.
And a reminder, you can find live election results and analysis at kpbs.org throughout the day. That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
Hi, I'm Bill Hoehn.
And I'm Ted Hoehn.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hoehn family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hoehn Carlsbad dealerships or hoehnmotors.com.